Well, good morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in March. I want to explore with you today wisdom around the question, what should I do here? What should I do in this situation with this information coming at me? What should I do after I hear this news? What should I do with this idea, this discontent, this feeling? What should I do? Because I don't know what to do or how to respond. And TNC, as we explore this question today, I want to encourage you to consider some area in your life where you really want wisdom in response to information or insight that has come to you. It could be information from an outside source, social media, a world news or political news source, the opinion or prompting or question from a friend or from an enemy, or it could be a voice from within, a thought you've been having, an idea, a discontent, an impulse, some area where you want to know, how do I handle this with my money, with this job, this friend, this child or grandchild or parent or grandparent or school or this habit I'm frustrated with? The question today is, what should I do here? And as one way to think about this, I want to consider now an episode in Jesus' life during the last week of his life. Easter is only a few weeks away, and so I've been spending time in my own Bible reading about the last week of Jesus' life, Passover week, leading up to the cross and then the resurrection. And on the Tuesday before the crucifixion, he's confronted with a question. And the way he responds, I think, we can apply to any situation of ours. The story is found in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Quote, "The Pharisees and Herodians came to Jesus to catch him in his words. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. So we have a question for you. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" Now, TNC, let's not get caught up in the specific content of the question yet, because the basic form of the story is this. A question has come to Jesus, and he must now consider, what should I do with this question, this information, with this interaction? How should I respond? And I believe with all my heart, TNC, that his response here is no different than how we should process that external or internal question that we're facing in our lives right now. And one final preliminary word. Listen, Jesus was a really smart person. And sometimes folks in our day, I think, spend too much time focusing on his divine nature, his power over death, his resurrection, the hope of our own eternal life, which is a good thing, but sometimes in the process of this good focus, a bad thing happens, which is Jesus' wisdom for our real lives gets lost, and we sort of neglect his role as teacher, his example as a model for good living. And so in the process of a good thing, which is saying that Jesus is more than human, a bad thing has happened, which is that Jesus' example for helping us live an abundant life here gets overlooked. And yet, my most pressing need right now, and yours too, and the most pressing universal need in our world today is, how do I live well right here, right now, in my actual situation? A question that ChatGPT will not help us with, but a question that Jesus, even in this simple exchange, answers with a kind of care and wisdom that will help us with our, how do I respond here, question. And what we're going to do now is see that Jesus is about to engage in three one-word questions that are actually tools that we can use in our situation, three one-word questions that can help us in our analysis of anything, emotional, factual, professional, personal. Verse 15, Jesus said, why, are you trying to trap me? Why? And that's the first one-word question. Why? It's a powerful question, and I don't think we ask it enough. In fact, we often ignore it. But it's fundamental in terms of figuring out yourself and others around you and what's really going on in a situation. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves when faced with a dilemma or a question or new information or a worry or a problem, which happens to not be the question our culture is most obsessed with. Our culture would rather just flood us with how to make money, how to find a girlfriend or boyfriend, how to lose weight, how to be happy, how to be rich and happy, how to buy a house, how to raise kids, how to get likes, how to get hits. We have tons of how-to books, but not many why books. But why is the more important question, and partly it's because of what happens when you ask why, which is the moment you sincerely ask why. You pause, and in that pause, you reflect, and reflection allows wisdom to enter your heart and mind. Before you just accept the information coming at you hook, line, and sinker, before you accept the feeling you're having hook, line, and sinker, and certainly before you respond, why? Why would that news outlet say something they knew was not true? Why? Why would the lead story over there always be bad news or alarming news? Why? Why would that person be angry with me? Why is that person reaching out to me now? Like, what is their real need? Why? Why am I feeling so unsettled? Why? Why am I lonely? Why did I do what I just did? Why do I keep knocking myself out for that? Why do I believe I have this asset? Why do I believe I have this liability? Why am I afraid to ask for honest feedback? Why am I exploring these questions all by myself? Why am I afraid to read or watch another news source? Why? See, why allows you to experience insight. It allows light to come into your situation. Now, I know some folks who say, experience, David, experience is the teacher of all things. It's kind of a famous phrase, but I would say, no, it's not. Evaluated experience is. I just have yet to meet a person who doesn't benefit from honest pausing and reflecting. And in terms of self-reflection, it is a question we sometimes like to avoid because it can take us to some pretty dark places, and so we don't want to ask it about ourselves. But it's still the key to unlocking things. A couple examples. I didn't get that job. Why? Well, the other person turns out is a relative of the boss. Woo, that's awesome. At least I know. Wasn't me. Or, actually, my resume was kind of thin, had some typos. And I remember when the interviewer asked me some questions about where I saw myself with the company in 3 or 4 years, I didn't really have an answer for that. Why? Why didn't I have an answer for that? Well, I really wasn't prepared. Why? Well, I was sort of afraid that if I spent too much time preparing, I would care too much. Why? See, why, ask enough times, can really be helpful. Why? Why did I stop for fast food? I was hungry. Why? I hadn't eaten. Why? I didn't think ahead to my eating plans for the day. Why? I was too tired to think ahead last night. Why? I stayed up too late. Why? Because I'm feeling discouraged these days, or lazy, or entitled, or unmotivated, and I just wanted to have some time. Why? See, why is a key question, and Jesus considers it before he answers the question. And understanding why, TNC, will always inform you about a better response to your situation. And so Jesus asks why. That's the first one-word question, which leads us to the second one-word question that we must ask ourselves. It's in the second half of verse 15, quote, Jesus said, bring me a denarius, a coin, and let me look at it. Now, I'm going to really stretch a point here, but hang with me because I think it's a really good point. This is the second one-word question. It's the word that's in the middle of that phrase, and it's the word and, A-N-D, and with a question mark. And I'm going out to eat tonight. And are you going to drink or not? And are you going to spend a lot of money or not? And are you going to stay out late or not? And are you going to be kind to the server or not? I'm going to confront my boss tomorrow and put them in their place and speak to them from a place of vulnerability and try to understand where they're coming from. I'm going to spend this money and pay it off over time. And I'm going to go work out. And what are you going to do? What do you hope to accomplish? I'm going to donate some money to TNC's partnership with Charity Water for the funding of freshwater wells in developing countries. And it will grow my heart. And I'll have to maybe skip one eating out meal this year to cover my donation. And I'm going to put others ahead of my own agenda this Saturday morning. And this is going to move me toward love and positivity. And it will help me deal with my selfishness and negativity. And, see, and is the then what part. Sorry for all those examples. It's actually just considering, where is the first part headed? Where will I end up if I stay with this thought? Where will it lead? I'd like to order a cheeseburger. How will I feel right afterwards? I'm going to quit this job. And what are you going to do right afterwards? You know, part of the problem is sometimes we ask the question and, but we think too far into the future. I'm going to quit this job and I'll become a millionaire and show them. Yeah, you've skipped a few too many steps between those two phrases. I'm going to confront my friend and he's going to thank me for it. Yeah, maybe, but it could be a year away. You might have to deal with some reconciliation attempts, some forgiveness, some reevaluation in between. So you should start with and. That's a great one-word question, but you need to make sure that what's on the other side of the and is very soon linked to the first part. Makes me think of that old Charlie Brown, Linus and Lucy and Snoopy, the old Peanuts cartoon comic strip by Charles Schulz. There's one I sometimes remember or see this time of year as baseball season moves through spring training, which is, after striking out on the baseball field, Charlie Brown returns to the dugout and he just slumps down on the bench. Rats, he moans. I'll never be a big league player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues, but now I know I'll never make it. At which point Lucy, who loves giving advice, replies, Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set more immediate goals for yourself. Immediate goals? Charlie asks. Yes, Lucy says. Start with the next inning. When you go out to pitch, see if you can walk out to the mound without falling down. Now, maybe she could have done without that last part, but her basic message is smart. And, just say, and, what am I doing next? It's a great question because it allows you to consider, what will your day, your hours, your life, your week be like in the moments after the and? And in this story, Jesus asks, and. First, he asks why, then and, which leads us to the third one-word question that I think we must ask ourselves in our situations when we're not sure what to do. Verse 16, so they brought the coin to Jesus, and then Jesus asks them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription on the coin? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And the text says, quote, then they were amazed at him. Why? Why was this so amazing? Well, it's because this gives us our third one-word question that we must ask ourselves when we're faced with any question. What should I do now here with this new information or this new idea or this new feeling? You should ask, who? Who? Who am I hoping to serve, honor, respect, love in my response? And this is the heart of what Jesus is getting at in this exchange. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not, they ask. Now, it's a volatile question. Ever since the Jewish nation had been taken over by the Roman Empire in 63 BC, after Pompey's siege and invasion, Rome had required a huge annual tax from the Jewish people, and the people hated the tax, and they were not fond of leaders who endorsed it. They felt like when their Messiah came, that Messiah would free them from this Roman oppression, including the tax, which means if Jesus were to answer, yeah, pay taxes to Rome, he risks discrediting himself with the crowd. And a forward-thinking Messiah would never do that. The people hated the Roman tax. But if Jesus says, no, don't pay Rome, he could be charged with advocating a denial of Roman authority, punishable by imprisonment or death, which is why Jesus' answer is brilliant. First, because he sets up a counter trap and he turns the question back on his opponents. He asks to see this silver coin, and Jesus looks at it, and then he just asks a question. Whose portrait is on it? Whose inscription? The emperor's, they say. And immediately, they're discredited because in the Jewish homeland at that time, many people would not ever carry coins with images of other humans on them. There were two types of coins. One type had no images on it of animals or humans because of the Jewish prohibition for graven images. The other type of coin did have people's faces on it. But Jesus' questioners in the story, they bring him a coin with an inscription on it that has Caesar's face and the inscription, Caesar, the divine son of God. And so Jesus has him squirming. Why are they even having that coin? And then Jesus says, okay, well, it's Caesar's coin. Give it back to him. A very smart non-answer to the larger question of paying taxes. But then he brings up something they have not brought up. This is the who part. Jesus adds, but you need to be asking the deeper, more important questions when you're faced with situations in your life. And it's the who question. Who is it that is driving your life decisions? In other words, you ask a question that failed to consider the deeper, more important question, which is, to whom are you giving your ultimate allegiance? To whom are you called to serve and love in this moment, in this situation? Yes, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but are you giving to God what's God's? It's the first consideration to the question, what should I do here, TNC? You ought to consider who is the one you're seeking to serve and follow. And then the ultimate who question is, are you paying attention to the counsel of God for your situation? Are your emotions and prayers and hopes and worries and plans driven by a political party, a governmental ideology, a desire for status or excitement or to be liked or to retire early? Or are your responses to your situation driven by the thought, who is it that I'm trying to serve? Because if you know the who, TNC, then I think all the other things begin to fall in place a little more easily, because then at least you have a true north, the one for whom your eyes are fixed on, which leads us actually to perhaps Jesus' most penetrating and profound question, the one he asked just before his final journey to Jerusalem in the final week of his life. This encounter takes place in Matthew chapter 16, where we're told that Jesus gathers his disciples around him in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And in a very poignant moment, Jesus asks his disciples, quote, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they reply, well, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Then there are those who say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus responds, I think, after a moment of long and profound silence, in which maybe he goes around the room and looks into the eyes of each disciple, before finally landing on Simon Peter. But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And within a week, Jesus will be accused, tried, crucified. But in this moment, he wants the most important question to take root and grow. And he says, the most important question you're going to have if you want to be my disciples is, who do you say that I am? Who? Because TNC, if Jesus in his wisdom is just another bit of wisdom, if he's just another rabbi, then it's just one of many ideas to consider. And if he's just another failed Messiah, then, well, everyone's going to disperse, go back to fishing or tax collecting or farming and so on. But if you truly believe Jesus is who he says he was, then he is the who that I most need to look to for wisdom. He is the who I must trust most when deciding how to live, tweet, post, text, speak, spend, listen, serve, and love. Then he is the who, and he's the why, and he's the and. TNC, I often avoid these three one-word tools, these levels of scrutiny of things in my own life. And it's a mistake. And it's a mistake that many of us make, I think. But today I'm asking us to commit together to start or to re-engage with these questions, to put them into play. Because the opportunities to ask why and who, they're everywhere. And as we discover their power, as we engage with them, I think we're going to discover that they're practically helpful. And they will help us to consider, what should I do here in this situation in ways that will bring joy and honor and abundance to our life? Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening, for the very situation, question, feeling, concern, hope that they've been thinking about as we've been talking. And God, I pray for our TNC community, that we would be wise sounding boards and voice boxes and grace givers and wound binders and energy providers to one another as we move through these questions of life together. And thank you, God, for being the who is worthy of our faith and our trust and our hope. You who are smart about life and for whom death holds no power over. It is you who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And so to you, we give you glory and we give you power in our church and in our lives through Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.